This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have updates from Melissa Hammer and Tyler Donaldson, too. Western North Dakota faced one of its hottest days in a long, long time yesterday. Marmarth, which is on the North Dakota-Montana border, had an air temperature of 110 degrees yesterday. Watford City topped out at 108. Williston, 107 degrees. Dickinson saw 106 for a daytime high. With the humidity, the heat index was even much higher. More heat is expected for the northern plains and upper Midwest today and into the weekend. There's also a chance for a late afternoon or evening thunderstorms. That chance for severe weather remains for the weekend. At this hour, there is rain from northwestern South Dakota and extending into one portion of western North Dakota.
Record yields were reported after the Wheat Quality Council spring wheat and Durham tour. The three-day total spring wheat estimate, 54.5 bushels per acre. The previous record was 49.9 bushels per acre set in 2015. The Durham yield was reported at 45.3 bushels per acre. That's up slightly from the previous record set in 2016.
Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has more from that Wheat Quality Council Spring Wheat and Durham Tour.
The wheat tour wrapped up with some pretty impressive wheat yields across the region. South Dakota Wheat Executive Director John Kleinjohn said for his first time on the tour, it was good to see a lot of wheat.
This is my first time on the wheat tour, actually, but so it was a great experience. It was great to see. I volunteered to drive so I could take the South Dakota route. The first day, that's probably the longest route that drops straight down from Fargo, then goes west through the northern tier of South Dakota, and then back up again to Bismarck at the end of the day. Wheat is getting harder to find in South Dakota, especially in the northeast. We've had some challenging springs. Acres have not been planted because it's been so wet. We saw a pretty good crop in South Dakota as we were going across the state. And then in North Dakota, the crop looks pretty good everywhere. I've never known that North Dakota could be so green this time of year. But according to NAS numbers and according to what the tour saw, I think we're on track for a record spring wheat crop in North Dakota this year.
Diseases did not seem to be a large issue on Kleinjohn's route.
You know, we saw a little bit of scab, obviously more pronounced in the eastern growing areas. We were never in a really heavy scab area in my car, but the amounts of infestation I saw, I don't think it's really going to be a big issue. I think the tour came out with an estimated yield for North Dakota, northern South Dakota, and then western Minnesota of 54.5 bushels an acre, which I think is the highest yield I saw on the data sheet over the last 15 years. It looks like there's a good crop out there.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo says there is a very good crop coming, but it's going to be variable.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the whole situation in the United States crop as a whole. I think that when you look at beans, corn, and wheat, I think you hit something very important because of the delayed plantings, the very dry weather. The variability this year seems to be one of the biggest in 5 or 6 years from what I can tell, especially when you talk about areas that are south of, say, I-80.
Zuzulo expects the crop in the northern plains to be much more variable.
North of I-80, maybe a little bit better variability, but the south of I-80 area, especially the areas that maybe got flooded north of I-80 also included in that. But I think that variability is going to be important, but the trade right now for the U.S. corn crop, from what I'm hearing in Chicago, not nervous about that at all. They're really pushing up the national yield well above 181, and I think that's where we'll probably have a lot more to talk about in the fall or late summer from USDA's numbers. If they want to come down and yield, they'll probably do it later rather than earlier.
At the Grand Forks County Plot Tour last night, NDSU wheat breeder Andrew Green has seen some unusual things this year.
We're seeing some pressure from some diseases like stripe rust in our trials where we don't normally see that disease. We don't typically have to select against it in terms of resistance. So it'll be nice to kind of have that as a note.
These plot events are a chance for farmers to provide input.
Straw strength is always an important factor in any year. Everybody's always curious to know what a line yields. But this year we're hearing more questions about disease resistance. We've got some opportunities to select against some rust, Fusarium head blight, and that's been a focus of our program for a long time, but we're getting some real opportunities this year.
Andrew Green, NDSU wheat breeder. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. With the lack of a fresh bullish news story, Advanced Trading Risk Management Advisor Tommy Grisafi expects a sideways trading pattern.
The most bullish thing we have is that maybe there's a little less acres, maybe we see a pickup in demand. The funds are short. We have an election coming in 100 days, so... But if and when the funds go to cover, we could rally. I'd like to see that before harvest. It might not happen. It sounds silly to say that the most bullish thing we have is the funds have oversold it. And when they go to buy it, you know, we have those, you know, someone will say, why was corn up 20? Oh, the funds are covering. We're not there right now. They may be starting, but the funds are still heavily short this market.
And the amount of grain held on farm is a concern.
Once grain started trading below the cost of production, the farmer quit selling. But the market doesn't, it sounds odd, but the market doesn't care about your cost production. If you have 100,000 bushels of corn in a bin and you need to sell that before harvest, the market's not going to wait for you. The market's not going to rally to make your life easier. So the way I've been explaining is a few years ago, farmers had a cost production of $5 in corn. They sold it for $7. Now maybe a farmer has a $5 cost production and there's a really good chance they're going to sell it for $3.50. So many farmers could show significant losses here. And the better, the more bushels they have, the less they can rely on that crop insurance.
Pioneer and Corteva have been showing off their latest research this week. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster has his report from the Spiritwood, North Dakota area.
All right. Speaking with Pioneer agronomist Zach Forey. Zach, can you talk a little bit about how this year may be a little bit different weather-wise and just how it might be affecting the crop?
Every year is different. You know, the weather throws you different curveballs every year. I'd say the thing that was the most different this year was the frequency of rain. And we've had a lot of years when we're wet early, but we started dry. We thought we were going to be in the fields early, and then we just had a lot of small rains, just one after another, that really kept us out. So our planting dates got stretched out. And so far, we're a little behind on heat accumulation. So the combination of that and later planting, in some cases, our crop is behind.
Those early rains that we've been getting this year, how do they affect things?
We were wet for a long, long time, but when you get into the season, crop that's getting the size of our crop right now for corn and soybeans, it uses a lot of water. So you can be saturated 2 weeks ago and now, you know, it's used up a couple inches of water and you need water again. So that's exactly the case. Yeah, it wasn't very long ago. We're too wet and a shower here, and then we're going to need rain before this crop is made.
And then speaking of rain and moisture here, any elevated disease concerns here coming now that we're in summer?
You know, not really. There's only a couple that we're worried about. We, in this northern area, we miss out on some, which is kind of nice. We just don't have a lot of disease pressure on corn. We look for Goss's wilt and haven't seen any Goss's wilt yet, and it's not something you can manage post-planting anyway. In soybeans, it'll be white mold. And that's a kind of a year-by-year thing, and it'll depend on what kind of environment we get going forward, if we're going to have any white mold pressure or not.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
According to Pioneer corn breeder Matt Walsh, there's a lot to be excited about in the coming years for corn.
In these maturities, in our 80 to 90 to 95 day maturities, we have a tremendous amount of momentum right now. We've seen really exciting improvements in our new offerings in terms of yield, and we've really turned the page at performance to some things that are very exciting. We continue to improve on agronomics, and we continue to get shorter like we just talked about. So, all things considered, there's a lot of excitement around what's in the pipeline ready to come out to the market.
And Walsh says much of what's coming from Corteva depends on how things finish this year.
I think it's a really good time to be a Corteva breeder. The nature of this job is to be something exciting in 2025. It has to perform in 2024. We'll talk in the fall after the combines roll, and we'll see what's worked. Go from there.
Hefty Seed Business Development Lead Jeff Preston serves Minnesota and the Dakotas. At the Ag PhD Field Day in South Dakota, Preston said his geography covers a variety of conditions.
It's a very diverse agriculture with sugar beets, dryable beans, potatoes. So our people have to know recommendations because of carryovers, things like that in chemistry, that down here, where it's predominantly corn and beans.
Soil types also vary greatly.
The valley is very unique. We work all the way out to the Montana border, basically, and heavily into eastern and western Minnesota. And you're right. I mean, we go from irrigation to heavy clay, high magnesium soils to blow sand. So it's very diverse, and it takes different agronomy skills and expertise to work with the various farmers.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Kochia and water hemp are weeds that continue to cause problems in fields across the region. Valent USA Row Crop Segment Manager Will Griffin says getting ahead of these weeds is vital for controlling them.
And one thing that we've really seen here recently is an increase in fall application. You know, flumioxazin traditionally, I'm from Mississippi originally, but lived in Aberdeen, South Dakota for 8 years. And we've started to see a lot more fall application from a weed control perspective. Start early, you know, you can, it just buys you time as you get into the spring from a standpoint of how you're managing your weed control. But, you know, being able to use a fierce brand that gives you that additional control as we get into, you know, fall application.
Using different modes of action also reduces resistance.
And we're seeing it in North Dakota a lot. There is some resistant kochia that's popping up, and we've actually seen our fierce from a fall application really increase because it just increases that spectrum, reduces the resistance. Anytime you can use multiple modes of action at the same time with the same product, you're able to break some of those resistance cycles. And that's what we're seeing with our products is, you know, we have very few single AI products out on the market. Most of our products now, we're trying to use multiple AIs to break those resistance cycles that you see coming through on some of the brands that are out there now.
The U.S. beef inventory is record small, but that's not the case in Brazil. CONAB is reporting Brazilian beef production at a record 10.1 million metric tons. That's more than a 7% increase over last year. CONAB is also forecasting Brazilian beef exports at 3.4 million metric ton. That's up more than 13% from 2023.
Milking dairy cows are not expected to be part of the Miracle of Birth Center at this year's Minnesota State Fair. The threat of avian influenza and dairy cattle is prompting the move. The Miracle of Birth Center will still have weaned dairy calves and dry dairy cows, but there won't be any cows giving birth at this year's fair.
Checking in on the markets, we are 5.25 higher for Minneapolis wheat, the September contract at 609. Chicago wheat September down 1.25, and we're at even money for the KC wheat. September corn 3.25 lower, 402.75. New crop corn down 2.75. And soybeans August, we're a nickel lower, 1111 is the quote. New crop soybeans 1072 down by 7.5 cents. Checking in on the farm calendar, Farm Fest is on the schedule. The dates August 6th through the 8th. That's in Redwood County, Minnesota. They've got some 50 acres of land and over 500 exhibitors and vendors that will be participating in this year's Farm Fest. Look for the Red River Farm Network to be reporting from Farm Fest. Crops, Covers, and Cows, a session coming up August 8th, put on by the Burley County Soil Conservation District at the Minocan Farm. Again, they will be doing tours as well as having a couple big-name speakers. That's August 8th, Crops, Covers, and Cows. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.